Alright, morning. I tell you, Davos Avsamech Beis in Zvachim. Okay. We're talking about the Mizbeach. Today we will talk about the Mizbeach in its entirety. Detailed discussion about the actual Mizbeach itself. Comparisons between the Mizbeach, Mizbechos. Right? Is that about right? Okay, let's say it that way. Comparison of the Mizbechos of Moshe, Shlomo, and the second base of Mikdash. Okay, all coming up today. The Gemara asked a simple question yesterday. He compared the Mizbeach built by Shlomo and the one built for the Second Temple, and you'll notice that the Second Temple one is larger. And the Gemara wanted to know why. How come the one of the Second Temple was larger? So the Gemara is going to offer a number of answers to this question. One answer, which we saw yesterday, is because of the need to burn all the karbanos on top. Let's do the Gemara again. Tanan Hasam, we're going to start again from the beginning of the sugya. We are in Samech Aleph Amud Beis, and we're about 10 lines from the bottom of the Amud, starting with the words Tanan Hasam. First words in the line is Vizimnan Hacham. Tanan Hasam, the Mishnah Midos tells us this, Ukishalu B'nei Agola. So when the B'nei Agola came up and they're rebuilding the Second Temple, Sifol Av Dala Amos Min Adarom, V'Dala Amos Min Amarav. So they extended the Mizbech and they extended it 4 Amos, both in a southbound and westbound direction. So now the second Mizbech, the Mizbech of the Second Temple is going to exceed that of the First Temple, 4 Amos in each direction. Okay? Kimin Gamma, like a Gamma. Gamma, Alpha, Beta, Gamma. Right, the third letter of the Greek alphabet, which is basically what's the thing called?
Chaf Sofis.
Right, Rashi describes it as a Chaf Sofis, that's correct. A bracket, right? All it is an L bracket, right? That's the shape of the gamma. So if you can just picture, or how about this, right? In other words, the original... If this is the original, so the addition went in a southbound and westbound direction. So if you just look at this shape over here, the shape of it looks like a gamma. Okay? And why did they do that? Why did they add more to the second Mizbeach? So my timer. So the Gemara is now going to give a number of answers.
Did they add more by adding on to it, or did they just add more?
It was built from scratch. They didn't add on to the first one. But in other words, when it says south and west, it means that they knew exactly where the first one was, mm-hmm. and the direction they went in terms of the addition, the actual addendum to the Mizbeach was in the direction of the south and the direction of the west. So the Gemara says, my time. So why was it bigger? So again, answer number one, which we saw yesterday. I'm Rav Yosef Mishum Delo Safek. So Rav Yosef's answer is, well, they needed more, right? More karbanos, more people for the second temple. Now Amar Le'Abaye, and Abaye says it's just apparently not correct. So Hashta Mikdash Rishon Dechsib Be'Yehud of Yisrael Rabim Kechol Asher Al Hayam Safek. So by the first base of Mikdash, it was Rabim Kechol Hayam. Our population was tremendous during the first temple, and then Mikdash Sheni Dechsib Be'Kol Kahal Ke'echad Arba Rivoy. Lo Safek, and our numbers by the second temple were very small. The number of Jews that went back from Bavel to build the second temple was, you know, 5 digits. It was tiny. So I think 42,000. Right? It was a small amount. So Abai says to Rav Yosef, who was his Rebbe, so right, it's a little bit interesting how this give and take goes, but Abai says to Rav Yosef, can't be that that's correct. So Rav Yosef says, Amar lei, hausam, eishol shamay messiahsam, hachein eishol shamay messiahsam. So Rav Yosef says, fine. So how about this? In the first temple, fire came down from heaven, so therefore you didn't need a large ma'aracha, a large burning base. The first temple burning base was 20 by 20 amos. So you didn't need that much because the moment you threw it on, it's automatically going to get consumed, eish min hashamayim. Second temple, there was no eish min hashamayim. Right, the Mishnah tells us that for the second temple, many miracles that took place for the first temple did not exist for the second temple. There was no Eish Min Hashamayim, so therefore I needed an actual larger space because all the fuel was man-made fuel, and so we needed more space for burning. That's why we extended it 4 amos into 2 directions. Ki asa rav and amar rav shimon ben pazi. Okay, so now answer number 2. There are going to be 3 answers in total. Why was the mizbech of the Bais Sheni larger than the mizbech of Bais Rishon? So answer number 2, amar rav shimon ben pazi mishum bar kapara. Shisa no sifu, I'm sorry, shisa no sifu. Okay, now, A little bit of background to the second answer. On the Mizbeach, there was a lot of liquids that were poured, notably wine and water. Right? Wine, nesachim. Every time you bring a carbon, the carbon has nesachim, it has accompanying libations. Okay, that's what they call it. I'm not sure what that means, but it's wine. They would pour wine onto the top of the Mizbeach. Now, there were holes on the very top of the Mizbeach where the liquids would go through on Sukkot. So let me just add that they would pour water. Nisach HaMayim. Right? Mitzvah not mentioned in the Torah, but it is a mitzvah min HaTorah. Obviously, it deals with the Mizbeach, and that is to pour water. These two pourings, wine and water, took place in the southwest corner of the Mizbeach, on the top of the Mizbeach. Where would the water go? So for the first temple, it would just basically go on and drip down the side. And fine, right next to the side of the southwest, there was canals, right? We described these canals a number of times. Now, these canals apparently, okay, I'm not 100% clear, right? I never saw it. But apparently they ran down and they ran subterranean. So that there was actual liquids that went down into the ground and there was some sort of subterranean canals that took the liquids outside and took it out of the Harabayas area. Okay. The Mishnah, no?
But that southwest corner is also where the coals were being burnt.
Coals?
You know, the wood for the...
Yeah, further interior. This is talking about really right at the corner, at the corner of the southwest corner. Okay. Fine. When they build the second temple, here's a modification they made. We want the liquids to go not on the over the side of the Mizbeach, but we want it to go into the hole all the way directly down into it. Okay, so in other words, basically what you had is these shisim, the entrance to the shisim were like somewhere around here. And so what they did is they added, and then the holes went directly down. Now, why do they want that? What was the thought process? The Gemara is going to take us through the thought process.
The holes are underneath?
The holes went through the Mizbeach, to go all the way underground. Now, so the Gemara now takes us through the thought process. Right? Real modifications from Mizbeach number 1 to Mizbeach number 2. Meikarasavar Mizbeach Adama Shua Tumba Adama. Because look, when the Torah describes the Mizbeach, it calls it Mizbeach Adama, which means that it has to be a whole entity. There can't be any holes in the... Right? Can't be any holes in the Mizbeach. It has to be one solid structure, one solid mass. That was the original thought process. That was an entire Beis HaMikdash thought process. That was Mizbeach number 1. And then all of the self suffer, but then they change their thinking. Shesia ka'achila. No, in other words, when you pour down, it's like the Mizbeach is drinking, right? We anthropomorphically describe the Mizbeach as eating and drinking. Now, anthropomorphism is probably not the right word because we're not describing Kadosh Baruch Hu. We're describing the Mizbeach, but kaviyachol, to the best of our understanding, it's like Hashem is eating. So when we put food on the Mizbeach, that's like achila. Okay. Just to Leshaber Sayas 9, just to give us an idea of what it is, and we don't fully understand this. But then, when you pour down the libations, it's like drinking. So, they wanted that imagery to be clearer. So what they did is, well look, by the eating, the food doesn't go anywhere, meaning the food stays on the top of the Mizbeach, it happens to be burnt. And that burning is achila. They wanted the similar type of imagery for the liquid. If the liquid just runs off the side, that's not shesia, that's not drinking. So they wanted to go down into the holes so it looks more like shtia, looks more like drinking. Okay, fine. So that was the thought process. And that's why the second Mizbeach, they extended it both south and west so that the liquid would go straight down. Now the Gemara says, okay, but remember, the first Beis HaMikdash, why didn't they do it? Because it said Mizbeach Adama. What do you do with that? Gemara's next point. Omay Mizbeach Adama, Shum Mechubar Ba Adama, Shelo yivanenu lo agabi kipim lo agabi mechilos. You can't build it on top of a dome. You can't build it over tunnels. It has to be mizbeach adama. It has to be on the ground. You must build it on the ground. Tosus makes the obvious point. Well, what about the shisim? Meaning, if these shisim are underground tunnels, basically, in order for the liquid to go out, isn't that a violation? So Tosfos, on the very top Tosfos, on the second, on Samach Beis Hamad Aleph, says no. Borshol shisim lo haya chashav mechila. Kemedu tzorach mizbeach. No. The shisim are part of the mizbeach. It's part of the functioning of the mizbeach. That's not a violation. That's just simply part and parcel of the Mizbeach. But as far as having anything else underneath the Mizbeach that is hollow, that's not, that you're not allowed. And so, a couple of holes running down the Mizbeach is not going to be a violation of this Mizbeach Adama. Okay. That is answer number two. So again, question is, how come the second Mizbeach is larger than the first Mizbeach? Exceeds it by four amos, both in its length and its width. And so answer number one was Eish Min HaShamayim. Answer number two is, we wanted the liquids to go straight down directly into the Shisim. Yes.
Under this scenario, under the 28 by 28 would be solid rock, and under the other, the extension,
right,
would that be the part only where the Shishin are?
Right, that's the part where the Shishin are. Correct. Okay.
Why couldn't they build the Shishin within the same?
Right, so apparently, right, why couldn't they move the
Shishin? Not the same as Bayah.
Right, right. Right. Apparently, Shishin had a stationary position. Okay. Answer number three. Now, interestingly enough, answer number three is going to be given by Rav Yosef. Why do I say that's interesting? Because he gave answer number one. Right. If you look back, right, Rav Yosef was the first one who attempted to give an answer to this question. Abaye tweaked his answer, if you will. And fine, Rav Yosef gave answer number one. Now we go to answer number three. I'm Rav Yosef. Right, I know. Right, so good. So I'm just pointing. I'm setting this up for Rashi. So answer number three is given by Rav Yosef. So that's interesting. So Rashi picks up on it, and Rashi says it's par for the course for Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef suffered a terrible illness over the course of his life. That illness robbed him of his sight. Right, he lost his ability to see, and it also took away his memory. Right, he had to relearn everything. When you really think about it, it's amazing just to start from scratch all over again. But good, that's exactly what happened. That's what he did. Right, so Rav Yosef, Rashi, the top Rashi on the page. Rav Yosef chalav v'nekar limudo. Rav Yosef got sick and he forgot all of his learning. U'pamim shamar davar v'nizkar sheshana hefech v'chazabo. And we're going to find throughout Shas, you'll see Rav Yosef says something, and then later he's like, really, I said that? I don't remember. And not only do I not remember, I think that's right. and he reassessed and he reevaluated, and sometimes he came up with different answers and different responses. V'hacha hachi amar. And basically Rashi says that's how you understand the flow of the Gemara over here. We have one question, the Gemara gives now two answers. One of them is Rav Yosef, and now we go on to the third answer, it's Rav Yosef. Rashi says, same thing over here. Rav Yosef is reevaluating his answer and saying, I think I can give a better answer. And what is his better answer, or right, his new and improved answer? Live Amar of Yosef, Lav Hainu D'Tanya. We learned in a brisa. V'yachinu ha-mizbech ha-machonosav. They prepare the mizbech. They establish the mizbech. V'yichon is to like set it up as a base. Al-machonosav, based on its length. Shehigil l'sof midosav. Right, they figured it out. Right, this is a pasuk from Ezra. They figured out how long the Mizbeach is going to be. It's going to be bigger. Gemara says, what? I don't understand the answer. The Pasuk says, I call Bechsav Miyad Hashem Alai his skill. Right? Every time you talk about making modifications in the Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara turns to this Pasuk. This Pasuk in Divrei Yamim describes that when David was told to build the Beis HaMikdash, he was given blueprints. He was given actual blueprints. He had a fight with the engineering and everything. He had the blueprints for it. And they were divine blueprints. Right? The Pasuk says, HaKol Bichsav Miyad Hashem Alai Yiskil. Right? I have a certain amount of seichel, a certain amount of knowledge, but it's basically Miyad Hashem. It's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara in Sukkah, when talking about making the balconies, for the women to sit up on the balconies, Gemara asks the same question, quoting the same pasuk. Right? Anytime you make any type of modification in the Beis HaMikdash, you can't, because the pasuk. So I'm Rav Yosef, so El Am Rav Yosef. So again, Rav Yosef is now going to explain his answer better. So Kra Ashkach V'Darash. No, they found a pasuk. They, the builders of the Second Temple, found a pasuk that allowed them to extend the Mizbeach. The pasuk describing the building of the first temple, the pasuk says that David says, "Zehu beis Hashem alokim v'zem mizbeach." This is the house, and this is the mizbeach. Okay, And Hekesh, meaning the Torah, makes a comparison between the Mizbech and the Mizbech and the Bayis. I'm sorry, Vizem Mizbech Lola, Lisrael. Key Bayis is just like the Bayis. Ma Bayis Shishim Amma, a Mizbech Shishim Amma. Oh, when we have the Mizbech, there's actually an allowance to build it up to 60 Ammas. Same as the house. Now, functionally speaking, if the Mizbech is the size of the house, right? How do you fit everything over there? Right. If you look at the picture over there, it's kind of doesn't matter. In other words, it'll fit. Right, it'll be a tight squeeze. The width of the bayis, the actual house of the first temple, the mizbech has an allowance. Doesn't have to be, but has an allowance of being 60 amos.
Oh, and the second mizbech is bigger.
Second base of mikdash, the mizbech was only 32 amos,
right.
But you had an allowance to build it up to 60 amos, as we're about to learn in just a moment. In terms of length and width, the number there is not ma'akev. In fact, the Torah gives us a range. We'll see over the course of today how small the Mizbeach can be, how large the Mizbeach can be. There are certain things which are must. The Gemara is about to tell us. It has to be square, right? It can't be chipped, right? It has to have kronos. Certain things are, it has to have a yesod. Certain things are absolutes. Without it, you don't have a Mizbeach. But in terms of the actual dimensions, not in absolute terms. That's a variable, that's an allowable variable in terms of the construction of the Mizbeach. So for the first temple, so it was 28 by 28. For the second temple, it was 32 by 32. That's fine. You can go up to 60. Okay.
The third temple will be 60.
I don't know. We'll find out. So
the ratio of the dimension should be the same, though?
Certain ratios, yes. I'm not unclear about over here. Meaning we know Moshe's was, according to one opinion, 10 by 5. Right? 5 by 10. The Mizbeach, which we're about to go over, that wasn't that ratio. Of 2 to 1. Okay. Right. It wasn't. Fine. So, Okay, fine. Good. Now, we are going to... Okay. So, question. Second Mizbeach was larger than the first Mizbeach. Answers 1, 2, and 3. 1 has had to do with the fire, consuming the Mizbeach. 2, second answer was they wanted the liquids, the wine and the water, to go directly into the Mizbeach. They want the Mizbeach to do more like shtia, more like an act of drinking. Answer number 3 is that... Right? They wanted to make it larger. Answer number 3 is not really a... It's not really a fundamental answer. It's just, you know, they had the right to. No, numbers, dimensions is not absolute. Okay. Next part of the Gemara. The Gemara now is going to take us to the following discussion. We know that they came and they built the second temple. Second temple was built totally new. Very little existed from the first temple. Only 70 years elapsed between the first temple and the second temple. But still, Nebuchadnezzar totally destroyed the first temple. So they're coming back now to build the second temple. So the Gemara starts off with a couple of fundamental assumptions. So, Bishlama bias minkara tsuraso. As far as the house is concerned, there was a tsura. There was some sort of remains of the first temple that outlined exactly where the bias should go. And I guess by extension, the same thing would be true regarding the Azara and the Haravayas. That they knew.
From David.
Or maybe just Nebuchadnezzar was only able to destroy so much. But in terms of the Mizbeach mina yadai, how did they know exactly where the Mizbeach goes? Meaning, because the Mizbeach, although it was cement blocks, right? It was stone and cement, but still, the Gemara's assumption is, fundamental assumption, is that it was so eradicated they did not see at all where the Mizbeach should go.
Even though it was in the ground.
Right, and even though there were shisim that you know, apparently they were still there. Okay, again, if I were there, I'd probably understand this a lot better. But the Gemara's making fundamental assumptions. They didn't know. They didn't know where the Mizbeach went. So how did they know where exactly to put the Mizbeach? Exact placement. So Amar Rav Elazar, a number of interesting answers to this question. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Mizbeach banu imichal asar gadol omid makriv alav. Answer number 1. The Gemara says there was a vision of Michael, one of the ministering angels, Sar HaGadol, all made a makriv alav. So he was makriv alav. So they had some sort of image of a malach offering on the Mizbeach, so divine help. That's answer number one. Rav Yitzchak Nafcha Amar Efroshel Yitzchak Ra'u Shemunach Ba'osam Makam. Answer number two. Wow, is answer number two interesting. The ashes of Yitzchak. Because you know, Avram took Yitzchak up onto the Har HaMoriah, and he shechted Yitzchak. Now, I know I'm going to get resistance to this. I realize I'm going to get resistance to this. Right, but if you read the Gemara carefully, the Gemara doesn't talk about the ram. The Gemara talks about Yitzchak. Okay, good. So, in of itself, that's its own discussion. What does the Gemara mean when it says Ephro Shel Yitzchak, the Ephor, the ashes of Yitzchak? Okay, so I guess we'll say that the ram was a substitute of Yitzchak, and really the ram was Yitzchak. Okay, fine. That's an approach. So, Be'el Sama Makam, Rashmo Bar Nachmin Amra Mikal Ba'is Kulo Hayrich Arech Ketores, Misham Hayrich Arech Eivarim. Smell. Smell took them to the right location. Right? What they did is they sniffed around. Right? You know, when you go to the airport, you know, the... right? Smell is an unbelievable sense. Just from a sensation standpoint, smell is one of the... Smell is...
Great sense.
I don't know where to go with this, but of all the senses of the body, smell is the only one that doesn't pass through the thalamus. In other words, it has a direct route to your limbic system of the brain. Okay, for whatever that's worth, I'm just saying smell is a very powerful sense. Okay, we'll say it like that. So in other words, they would sniff around everywhere else in the Mizbech, it smelled like Ketores, because they burn Ketores every day. And then they got to the place of the Mizbech, and that's where it smelled Reich Evarim.
Amar Abba. So not a single person who lived from...
Not only that, by the way, there are Gemaras, other Gemaras that indicate that there were people who saw the first temple and were able to compare it to the second temple, and the Gemara, right? I guess the Gemara over here is talking about with exactitude, meaning to know precisely, you know, to the inch, to the... I guess that's what the Gemara is going with this. Amar Rabbi Chanan, Rav Yochanan, Shlosh Nevi'im, Alu Imahem and Agola. I guess this is another answer, similar to the first answer, but not exactly the same, and that is divine help. Meaning that they knew exactly where to put the Mizbeach because they had a little prophetic assistance. Shlosh Nevi'im, Alu Imahem and Agola. Three Nevi'im went up with them with the Gola. Chag Zechariah Malachi. Echad. Shehayid lahem al mizbeach. So one of them, it's like the three malachim who visited Avram. Each one had their own specific purpose. So one, shehayid lahem al mizbeach. So one of them told him, mizbeach goes right over, and he pointed here. Echa shehayid lahem al makam al mizbeach. Sorry, I'm sorry. The first one told them about the actual mizbeach itself.
Size
of the mizbeach. The Rashi says this goes back to a point we made earlier today that you can talk about, you can add up 60 amos of the Mizbech if you so want to. Number two was to tell him about the Makam Mizbech, and the other one's there to tell them that you can be Makriv even though there's no bias, meaning all you need is Mizbech, and Mizbech would be enough in order to Shecht.
So that's where we know that halacha from that
Nabi. Right, correct. So good. So that's the answer. So that's another answer to the question of how they know where the mizbeach was placed. So here the Gemara is going to repeat, but it's doing so by quoting a brisa. So the brisa in its entirety is going to be quoted to us. The brisa is quoted in the name of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov from Shlosh Nevi'im, Alu Imahem and Agola, Echad Shein Lahem Mizbeach, Ve'el Amakom Mizbeach, Ve'echad Shein Lahem Shemakriv Ma'af Api Shein Bayis. Ve'echad Shehei Lahem Al HaTorah Shetichtav Ashuris. What does this brisa add? It basically reiterated all the points that we just made. Dimensions of the Mizbeach, location of the Mizbeach. You can shecht even though you don't have a base of Mikdash, all you need is Mizbeach. That's the only prerequisite to shecht, to bring up a carbon. And one more point, you have to write Ashuris. Okay. Gemara Sanhedrin, second perek, tells us that there are two different writing methods for writing the Hebrew language. One is called Ksav Ivri, and the other one is called Ksav Ashuris. Well, what's what? So Ksav Ashur is what we're used to. The block letters that Hebrew is written in. Not the Rashi script. Rashi script is a much later innovation that the publishers made, just so that you would know what's Rashi and what's Gemara. Okay? So the Rashi script is a much later innovation. But there are two types of writings of the Hebrew language. The Ashuris is a block letter that we look at right now. That's Ksav Ashuris. Every time your Sefer Torah is written, it's written in Ksav Ashuris. There is an older way to write, which is Ksav Ivri. The Gemara brings down, Gemara in Sanhedrin brings down, when Moshe wrote the Torah, did he write in Ksav Ashur and Ksav Ivri? It's a machlokas. The Gemara in Sanhedrin is not clear about that. But we are clear that there are two different ways to write. Can I show you Ksav Ivri? I have a couple of them at home.
Is that why it's called biblical Hebrew?
No, no, no. Ksav Ivri, Ksav Ashuris are based on location. Ivri is Phoenician. Rashi over here writes something similar to that, Lebanon. Right, Rashi writes. It's based on where it was primarily used. One was Phoenicia. I'm not a scholar, so I'm not the person to talk to, but and Ashuris is just Assyria. That's all the names indicate. But there were two different ways to write. And so one of the things that when Ezra came back to build the second temple is that when you write in Ksav Ashuris. Okay. Tan Rabbanan. Again, the Gemara in Sanhedrin brings down a machlokas. There was a point historically where everything was written in Ksav Ivri. Was that the original writing? Unclear. But there was certainly a long period in history where it was that way. Ksav Ivri is much more circular. Ksav Ashuri is much more block. Okay, that's right now. That's your basic distinction. Tanu Rabbanan.
What is the reason for the change?
The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that Ezra, one of the takanas of Ezra, one of the innovations of Ezra. Why he did it, I'm not sure. Keren, the keves, the yesod, the rivua ma'akvin. Certain things define the mizbeach, and therefore are essential. And if you don't have it, you don't have a mizbeach. So keren, it needs to be. You need to have. We call it horns. Horns is such a bad translation. The blocks on the corners of the mizbeach, the koronos. Keves, it has to have a ramp. Yesod, it has to have a foundation, and rivuin has to be square. All these are part and parcel definition of the mizbeach. Without it, you don't have a mizbeach. That's ma'akev. Midas arko, midas rachbo, midas kamaso, ein ma'akvin. Dimensions in any direction is not ma'akev. Height, width, length are really subject to need, and not ma'akev. Minahani miliyamar Rav Huna amar kram mizbeach l'makom shenemar ha mizbeach la'akev. You have to look in the Torah, and the Torah every time is going to give you a defining moment of the mizbeach. It's going to use the words ha mizbeach. Rashi takes us through all of it. Rashi is a little bit below where we are in the Gemara. Shekol makom shenemar ha mizbeach la'akev. Rashi does our research for us. When it says the words ha mizbeach, it means that's it, defining the mikre mizbeach ve'ilolo. And if you don't have it, it's not mizbeach. Uvekaren ksev kranos ha mizbeach. Uveyisod ksev. I'm reading Rashi. Uveyisod ksev el yisod ha mizbeach. Uvekevish ksev el penei ha mizbeach. Kevish, interesting. The ramp. The ramp. Is Rashi's going to say this? It's so smart. I never thought of it that way. The ramp is really the doorway to the mizbeach. That's really what the ramp is. Meaning, when I want to go into a room, so I need a doorway in order to get in. The mizbeach is not a room in a classic sense, but it is. It is
the only way to get there.
The only way to get there is you got to ascend. So right, and I guess an elevator could have been an option, but. couldn't Shabbos issues, but in other words, the ramp really is a doorway. That's what the ramp is. V'huwa kevashu panav shal mizbeach. It's really the face of the mizbeach. Sha'olam lo derech sham kehechad dechashiv tzad mizrachis penei oel moed machmasha pesach sham uvirivux. I'm sorry, machmasha pesach sham. We'll see later on this morning. It's called the pesach. It's called the face of the mizbeach because that's where you enter. You enter in the face. Over Revuah Ksiv, and what about the squareness of the Mizbeach? Revuah Yiyya HaMizbeach. Again, Rashi says, that's a Pasuk. Revuah Yiyya HaMizbeach. Good. So Rashi basically takes us through every single time where the Torah gives us a defining moment of the Mizbeach. So Ela Me'ata, the Gemara continues now. If that's true, when the Gemara four lines down as the lines get wide, Ela Me'ata Kior LeRabbi V'Sovev LeRabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda HaChinami DeMa'akev. So if you're right, so then we have the Kior. Then we have the Sovev. The Torah describes both Dichsiv and Asato So Tachas Karkov HaMizbeach Melamata. And the there are two things. Kior, we all know, that's the basin where the Kohanim wash their hands, where it's described as being next to HaMizbeach. And the Karkov, Karkov is funny. What is the Karkov? So it's some sort of wrapping around the Mizbeach. Well, better defined in just a moment. Right? The Torah describes it. So it seems to be decorative in nature. Okay? We'll talk about it more in detail. But right now, the Gemara says, I'm bothered because you're telling me HaMizbeach means necessary, defining. And when the Torah describes Karkov, so V'nasato so tachas Karkov HaMizbeach. So it uses the word HaMizbeach. So that should also be part of the very definition of the Mizbeach.
I can't.
That's essentially what the Gemara is going to say. The Tanya Karkov, Rabbi Amar Zekior, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Zasovev. And what is a Karkov? So according to Rabbi, the Karkov is a reference to the Kior. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, that's the Sovev. So the Gemara says in, Gemara says, yes, correct. You're right.
Yes.
Meaning,
yes, what?
Yes, that the Kior and the Sovev, according to Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, respectively, is in fact essential. And the Gemara is going to quote a brisa, Detanya. Oh, so Ayom Nifka Makar Mizbeach Vehivu Busho Melech V'Sasmuho. The brisa over here takes us to a point in time where we're somewhere during the Second Temple, middle of the Second Temple period, and there were a lot of tzedukim. And the tzedukim, they loved Torah Shebechsav, did not feel the same way about Torah Shebaal Peh. Tzedukim did not have a daf yomi. They only had they had Tanach Yomi, no Daf Yomi for the Tzedukim. And they so the thing that upset them are things like Nisuch HaMayim. Drove them crazy, right? Because where in the Torah does it say that I gotta pour water on the Mizbeach on Sukkos? Answer, it doesn't. Okay. For further clarification, Halacha Moshe Mitzinai. It's part of the tradition that we have that on Sukkos we pour water down the Mizbeach. Yeah, but they said, what do you mean? Bring me the text. And we're trying to tell them we have the tradition. What do you mean? The text is not Torah Shebechsav is not enough. You need Torah Shebaal Peh. Okay, good. So that's history. So and so existed this group of Tzedukim. So the Kohanim in the Second Temple, some of them were Tzedukim. I know that sounds strange, but you know, if we lived back then, I think we'd understand it better. Tzedukim were not this like fringe group. They really made it into the mainstay. And so what one of the Kohanim did is he went up, we all know the story. Uh-huh. He went up on the Mizbeach, he took the water and he poured it on his feet. And not into the hole on the southwest corner of the Mizbeach like he was supposed to. Because he didn't believe. And then he got met with fruit. Now it was Sukkos, and he got met with Esrogim.
And rocks.
And rocks. It's clear, by the way, that they didn't just throw Esrogim at him. It's absolutely clear. All right. Because as the Brisa goes on to describe, so in the line of fire, so the Mizbeach was right there. You know, like the Bar Mitzvah boy who gets pegged with all the candies. Right. And, okay. Buy soft candy. So the Mizbeach got nicked. And so what the Bryce over here is describing is they did a little patchwork, but it was temporary, and it didn't really fix the Mizbeach. Let's see the Bryce. Oh, so hayom nifka makar Mizbeach ve'aviyah bul shomelach. So they took Rashi describes it as being a fistful of salt. V'sasmuhu. And they patched up the Mizbeach, they got a nick in it. V'lo bibnei shekasha la'avoda. And the Bryce admits, this didn't really help. Meaning putting a little salt where it belongs didn't really help. Ela shelo yira mizbeach pagum. It was aesthetic. It just so that the mizbeach didn't look like it really got it was really nicked. Shekom mizbeach shein lo karen v'kefas v'yisav v'rivu apostol. And the whole reason why we want this brisa. Look, we love the story of. It's a great story, and But that's the whole reason why we're bringing the Braisa in, is to show us what is essential for the Mizbeach. And so the Braisa is telling us, you need the Kronos, the ramp, the foundation, the squareness. Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, Omer, Afa Sovev. And Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda says even the Sovev is essential. Where did that come from? Good, now we know, because the Torah describes the Karkov as being part of the Mizbeach, and Rav Yehuda describes the Karkov as being that which goes around the Mizbeach, the Sovev, that little walkway halfway up the Mizbeach. Tan Rabbanan Ezu Karkov, Ben Karen LeKaren, Makom Hiluch Ragle HaKohanim, Ama, Kohanim Ama. So the Gemara over here describes this Karkov. Now, you should be confused, because what we just described it as something that goes around the Mizbeach, on the side of the Mizbeach. Here, the Braisa is describing it as something being on the top of the Mizbeach, on the horizontal top of the Mizbeach. It's the walkway for the Kohanim. So, first of all, we'll get to the larger question of where is it? Horizontal or vertical? Right, that's the bigger question. But the Gemara over here starts off with a very technical question. Here, the Braisa says it's Bein Keren LeKeren. It's between the horns. Gemara says, no. If it's between the horns, how is your Kohen walking around? Right, jumping over the horns? It can be. So, Hilach Ragle Kohen, Imam Ato HaKohen, Bein Keren LeKeren, Have Azle, Ela, Ema, Umakam Hilach Ragle HaKohanim Ama. We're just going to modify the Braisa a little bit. It's interior to the Kronos by one Ama. So, right, we discussed this before. So, in other words, if right, we have a Keren, four Kronos, and the walkway was interior, and the path of the walkway was one Ama. Okay, that's the Karkov. So the Gemara now says, now that we cleared that up, so what's going on? Hiluch Ragle Kohanim Ama. The Haksiv Tachas Karkovo Melamata Ad Chetzio. So the Gemara says, when the Torah describes the Karkov, the Torah describes it as being something which is on the side of the Mizbeach, not something on the top of the Mizbeach. So Amar Rav Nachma Yitzchak Trei Havu. Okay? Two Karkovs. Right? Chad Havu Trei Havu. Chad Lanoi V'chad LaKohanim. Okay? There was one that went around the waistband of the Mizbeach. It's like a belt, a wide belt, that went around the waist of the Mizbeach. Rashi describes it as being decorated. They drew things on it, tzirim, pictures on it. Okay? So that's one Karkov, which went around the circle of the Mizbeach, the waist of the Mizbeach. And then on the top, there's another Karkov. It was even like a slight indentation, so that when the Kohanim walked, the Kohanim had a very clear path of where they would be walking around on the top of the Mizbeach. The lo nishtarku midas arko. Sorry, the lo nishtarku midas arko, midas rachvo, umidas kamaso. I'm sorry. The lo nishtarku. Period. Okay. Period. So fine. Okay.
It seems strange that they would say it was not the one on the top did not slip, but you would think that would be a slippery copper indented in.
It's exact construction. I'm not sure, but it basically allowed the Kohanim some path to walk on the top of the Mizbeach. Yes.
The belt that was around, didn't they have like something that not to fall, or like something or railing or something like this? I'm very creative.
Yeah, I understand. You're right. Doesn't seem that way.
Did it extend past the 28x28?
No. No. What?
One in the middle.
The one on the top or one on the sides?
One on the sides,
it was part of the Mizbeach, meaning on the base of the Mizbeach was 32x32, but that only went up one Amma. Then it came in, and now 30x30 going up until the Sovev, then it came in. So by the time he got to the top, it was 28x28.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Gemara continues. Amar of Manav Shalom, sorry. Midas Arko, Midas Rachvo, Midas Kama, so Ein Ma'akvin. Amar of Manav Avan Shalom, Chasenim Mizbeach, Sha'asa Moshe. Good. So now we knew maximum, right? Maximum amount that you can make the Mizbeach is 60 by 60. Okay. And we learned it earlier this morning, it's based on Sukkim. What about minimum? So the Gemara says, can't be smaller than Moshe's. Moshe for us creates the minimum dimensions of the Mizbeach. Moshe we know is 5x5. Torah says it. Right, coming up in Parshas Truma. Good. Shasa Moshe. V'kama Rav Yosef Amma. So when Rav Yosef was asked the question, well, how big was Moshe? So Rav Yosef says an Amma. Machachu Alaha. They laughed at Rav Yosef. Right, what a funny answer. Right, he says an Amma. Now, just be careful. In general, you shouldn't laugh at anyone's answer. Right? But, you know, especially someone like Rav Yosef. Again, as I mentioned a number of times, they were sharp back then. They were, you know, they sometimes, you know, very sharp. But they were sharp back then. So they laughed at Rav Yosef. Chamesh amos aruch v'chamesh amos rochav ravua yihiyah hamizbeach. Look, what are you saying an amma for? The pasuk says 5x5. So amalei abayi doma makam aracha kamar. So Abayi says, wait a second, right? Wait a second. Rav Yosef, when he said an amma, maybe he was just describing the very top of the mizbeach, the makom ma'aracha, the place where the mizbeach, where the karbanos were actually burned. We did this before. We described Moshe, the top of Moshe's mizbeach, as being 5x5. The Torah gives us the dimensions of 5x5. But remember, it had karbanos that took up one amma in each, and it had hiluch kohanim, one amma. So now I'm going in here, one amma. This is another amma. One amma, one amma. So this area of the makom aracha was one by one. So the Gemara says maybe that's what Rav Yosef meant. And the Gemara says, correct. Correct. That's exactly what Rav Yosef meant. So Amar Le Abayi Duma Makom Aracha Kamar Mar. Amar Le Mar Degava Rabahu Yada Mai Kamina. Abaye, you're smart. You understand me. Kari Alayhu. And as far as the rest of you are concerned, says Rav Yosef, you know, the ones who laughed at me, you know, he called them, look at the top of the next page, B'nei Keturah. Oh, that's rough. Rashi describes, B'nei Avram Atem, Avalo Kizeri Yitzchak V'Yakov. You got to fully understand this, but, and I'm not saying I do, but you know, the rest of you who laughed at me, you're B'nai Avraham, but, you know, not the Yitzchak type. You're the other sons of B'nai Avraham. B'nai Achsa de Rabbi Tarfon, Havi Yasve Kami de Rabbi Tarfon. As long as we're here, the Gemara tells us an interesting story. One all-star that I'm going to have to try to make sense of. Rabbi Tarfon's teaching his nephews and his sister's sons. And they're not talking. Right, he's like talking and talking, right? He's up in the front of the class and he's trying his best and they're just not responding. So he does an old trick, and that is he purposely makes a mistake. He knows. So he reads the pasuk, V'amar, pasuk V'amar, V'Yosef Avraham, I'm sorry, V'Yosef Avraham, V'Yikach Isha Ushma Yuchni. And Avraham takes another wife and her name is Yuchni. Now Rashi says this is a made-up word. He didn't, right? Doesn't really mean anything. But really, the pasuk ends with the word keturah. So Amri le keturah ksiv. So they look at him and they say, "No, uncle, that's not right. It's keturah. Kari alehem b'nei keturah." And so, right when he hears this, he says, "You people are b'nei keturah."
Nice.
Now the way Rashi describes it, I think.
Nice uncle.
Right, nice, right, right.
He made them talk at least.
Right. He made them talk, but then why do you insult them afterwards and say that you're B'nai Keturah? So Rashi, the way Rashi describes it, it's a short Rashi, but I think what Rashi means by this, four words in Rashi, Einam Yodim Ladaber B'Halacha, meaning when it comes to Halacha, he was talking to them in Halacha and they couldn't, meaning they didn't know any Halacha. But then when he spoke in Chumash and he was able to read Pesukim in Chumash, so that they knew. Right? And he's right, B'nai Keturah. Meaning, look, on the Torah aspect, good, you guys know, but I'm not teaching you Torah. I'm teaching you Halacha. Okay.
They understand the Indian of Keturah, not that they're the sons of Keturah.
Right, no. Right. In other words, right. B'nai Keturah, you know Chumash, but that's about it. I'm Rabbi Brachin, I'm Rav Chama Barguria, Gzir Shalsa Moshe, Orkan Amma, Verachman Amma, the Ovian Kemachak Gudash Sa'ah. Fuel, right? In order to burn on the Mizbeach, you need fuel. Blocks of wood. The blocks of wood were cut to form. And the form of the blocks were one square Amma. One Amma by one Amma. So these logs were cut into blocks of one amma by one amma, not one by one by one. It wasn't a cubic amma. It was one by one, and it was thin. The Gemara describes it as being kemachak gudash sa'a. They had They had basically their volume measurements, the sa'a, and when they would pour flour into it, in order to make sure that it was exactly, they would have this instrument. It was called a gudash, and what they would do is they just simply skim the top in order to make it a perfect sa'a. So the blocks were one amma by one amma in the thickness of their gudash. How thick was that? I don't know. But it was obviously wasn't the full amma. So amma Rabbi Yirmiyah ba'amma geduma. So Rabbi Yirmiyah says this is an amma geduma. Now Rashi says it was a little bit smaller than an amma. The Aruch, which is quoted by Tosfos, says it's a little bit larger than an amma. I only quote Tosfos over here because it fits in better with the next piece of Gemara. So Amar Rav Yosef Alav Haino Detanya Ala Eitzim Asher Ala Eisha Shalom Mizbech Shelo Yu Eitzim Yotzim Min HaMizbech Klum. It can't go over an amma because it went over an amma, then it extends over the Maracha. And as we just learned, the Maracha of Moshe was only one amma by one amma. Fine. Tanan Asam. The ramp. The ramp going up to the Mizbech was 32 in length. Now, not the hypotenuse, right? Not the angle. The actual distance from the edge of the ramp to where it meets the Mizbech was 32 amas. Then, it was 16 amas wide. Okay? Width of the ramp. Now, the entire Mizbech, just to help you conceptualize, I mean, you can look over there to the left. It was basically half the distance of the foundation. Foundation of the Mizbech was 32 amas. Ramp was 16 amas in width. I'm Rav Huna, I'm a Krav, B'shachar Osol, Yerech HaMizbech, Safon Ishi, Yerech, B'tzafon Ufon of Bedarom. Okay. We're going to have imagery over here. How do I know the ramp goes on the south side? Torah never says it. So the Gemara says we're going to base it on an imagery. And the imagery works like this. The north side of the Mizbech is called the Yerech. Now the Torah just means the side by it. But it says the words Yerech. Yerech is the thigh. The legs are the north. So if the legs of the Mizbech are the north, so then as you lie the person down, where's the face? Face is going to be on the south. So the Gemara says, Ufana b'dam. Eima Yerech b'tzafon fana b'tzafon. So the Gemara says, why'd you lie the person down? Stand the person up. So Amar Rava, Rami Gavra Ape. So Rava says, no, lie him down. So Amar Le'abai Adarava, Tritzva Ostev Gavra. So Abai says, no, don't lie him down, stand him up. And Abai is bothered because, well, in other words, if we're making imagery over here, right, doesn't it make more sense to have the person stand up? Okay. So Amale Ravua Ksiv. So the Pasuk says Ravua. Now it's a small play on words. Ravua is very similar to the word Ravatz. Right? And the ayin is a guttural letter. So you don't hear it because I don't pronounce the ayin correctly, as most of us don't. Right? But it's similar to Ravatz, which means basically to lie down. Right? So Ksiv. Bahami Baile Demir Bab Ravua. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? There the Torah is telling me that the Mizbech needs to be square. Miksev Meruba. No, but the Torah doesn't say the word Meruba, it says Ravua. The Torah is clearly hinting that it should be flat, it should be horizontal. Otamech Miksev Ravutz. Yeah, but the Torah doesn't say the word Ravutz. You'd be much happier if the Torah would have said that. Amalei Ravua Ksiv de Mashmahachi Umashmahachi. By the fact that the Torah says Ravua, it's intimating both horizontal and also square. The Tani Maisalam Ahacha. Okay, we'll pause over here. Okay? We will continue the discussion tomorrow with the actual dimensions of the Mizbech and the ramp and the direction of the ramp coming from the south, not coming from the north. We'll talk tomorrow about counterclockwise direction. A lot of good stuff. Abichananya ben Akasha Marzak Shabbat Zaki Sofiha Khirbam Tar Mr. Shanama Nechafitz Matsikoya Dotra Biadir. Remember the learning that we do this morning is for an Ilu in Ishama, Shakri Mashallah, Shakri Shlomo ben Mashallah.